Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, because we hearken unto your voice. We thank you, Father, because we shall not be like those who harden their hearts in the day, as in the day of rebellion. But we hearken our voice, we hearken our hearts to your voice, O Father, to the voice of your servants, to the voice of your prophets who speak in these days. And we are of those that do not just do that, but spread the word of the soon return of the King. We thank you, Lord, because this is a privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Okay. Someone say, I'm a star in God's movie. Amen. Now, today I'm going to, from the book of Amos, an interesting thing that I was, if you notice, I've been teaching from the minor prophets. Last two times we were talking largely from the book of Malachi. Now we're in the book of Amos, chapter 7. Thus the Lord showed me, behold, he formed the locust swarms at the beginning of the late crop. Indeed, it was the late crop after the king's mowings. And so it was when they had finished eating the grass of the land that I said, O Lord God, forgive, I pray, all that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord relented concerning this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Now this is Amos the prophet fulfilling the role of the prophet, because the Lord shows him that there were locusts coming, and he prayed and said, Lord, let them not come, because they will consume this kingdom, because it's a small kingdom. And the Lord relented. But then we also know later that the locusts did actually come in the days of Joel. You know, the book of Joel was written after a swarm of locusts came and invaded the whole land. So actually the whole book is almost about locusts. But it's also, just like the book of Amos, a warning before the day of the Lord. Now, a day of the Lord is the day that we speak about here, which comes at the battle of Armageddon. But you see, all these minor prophets point towards the day of the Lord, which was a day of judgment in their time, but which also is going to be repeated. Because in the scriptures, these things recur. A lot of these things which are in the future are actually in the past. Just about everything that we look forward to in the future is in the past. It happened before and it's going to happen again. So the Lord relented concerning this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, the Lord called for conflict by fire, and it consumed the great deep and devoured the territory. Then I said, O Lord God, cease, I pray, all that Jacob may stand, for he is small. So the Lord relented concerning this. This also shall not be, said the Lord. So the prophet is standing in the gap for the nation. Okay? Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then he said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with the sword against the house of Jeroboam. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam the king. Now I want you to notice these words. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam the king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you. Now, has Amos conspired against him? On the contrary, actually, Amos is stopping the nation from being destroyed, first by locusts, then by fire. Then now, while he's at the business of doing it, now I want you to understand that it's Amos who said in Amos 3:7, that you know that scripture, the Lord God will do nothing unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. Now, this does not mean that, this has two meanings. First of all, it means that if God is going to do anything, he will have to reveal it to the prophets. But it also means if there is no prophet for him to reveal it to, then he cannot do it. You understand? So now when Ezekiel comes, there are certain things which, and this is also true for our personal lives. Now I'll tell you this, in your private life, before anything happens to you, there has to be anything bad that is. There has to be a warning at least three times in one way or another so that you at least have had it, but you just rebel and go ahead and do it anyway. You understand? So before you make one bad decision that is going to mess up your life, somehow God has put it on himself to make sure that one person will warn you one way or the other. God will find a way of getting through to you to tell you, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And now I'll tell you that you'll find so many people who, like I'll give an example. I didn't want to give this, but I'll give this example of a lady who got married. Somebody told me this, to a pastor. And so these people go for a camp somewhere. This is in Kenya. And so these people go to a camp somewhere in Kenya. And so there's this woman, a pastor's wife, and she, you know, everybody knows her, pastor's wife, and so on. So now when everybody is, you know, because the rest of the people actually are university students who were there, she was the only one who was a bit more mature, but not that old anyway, because she hadn't been married for too long. So everybody is having a nice time, you know, at the beach and doing what? Then they would have time for fellowship in the evening after they've, you know, interacted and had a nice time. So they noticed this lady was so quiet. And so one day somebody came and talked to her and said, what's the problem? Why don't you talk to anybody? Why is... So she broke down in tears and started telling them her story. And the reality is, okay, the details are a bit too, but her marriage was terrible and she was going through a very, very, very rough time. But she said this crucially. She said, before I married him, she had several warnings and she just refused to heed them. Now that is true for everybody. You have so many warnings. And let me tell you this, even before... Okay, forget even about that. Now, if you're even a little spiritual person and something is invading your space, you will start dreaming about it. You might not understand what it is, but you will dream that something is invading your space. You understand? For instance, if a spirit of poverty is invading, this has happened to me. At a time when I'm so okay and everything seems to be fine, then you wake up one day and, one morning you dream when you've gone back to a house which you used to live in so many years ago, some kazigo somewhere, and you seem to be living there and you're comfortable. Okay, and you're even talking to the people around and seem to... Now, that shows that, you know, something has happened. Poverty is knocking at the door. Now, this happens in so many ways. Now, there's a guy, you remember when I warned you the other time about going to places where... where you're not sure about the spirit that is carried there. You understand? You remember that time, eh? Now, this guy goes to this place because everybody is advertising. This is a big deal, big deal. So this person goes there and you expose yourself to something. Now, at night, the guy dreams, okay, he actually welcomed somebody from that place. So the guy dreams, he's a man. He dreams when a fellow man is caressing his... And now that shows you exposed yourself to a spirit of homosexuality. You understand? That doesn't mean you have it. Eh? It just means it's trying to invade your space. Now, anybody who is even remotely spiritual knows that, the minute you step out of lines and something tries to invade your space, you dream about it. You dream something chasing you. You dream this. If somebody is trying to do some witchcraft to you or something like that, and we've had all these things where... You know, you dream somebody coming into your house whom you'd not invite ordinarily, then you know that person is trying to do some spiritual activity. Now, if you learn how to... Now, the first thing that will happen is dreams, usually, because in most cases, that's the area where most people are most alert. Now, if you just notice your dreams, especially if it happens the second, but it doesn't even have to happen the second time. Because then you notice, but why am I dreaming about this? Why is this like this? Then you know that something is invading your territory. And now that is the first warning. But if you're so spiritually dead, there will be a second and a third before any bad thing can happen to you. You understand? So now, God is telling these people that there's going to be a swarm of locusts. But that is just going to be the small thing. After that, something bigger will come. If you do not heed the voice. Now, and if you still do not heed the voice, something bigger will come. But it is not going to be the ultimate. The ultimate will be something bigger, which of course in the case of Amos, who was a minor prophet to the nation of Israel, in his case it was conquered by the kingdom of Assyria. But I want to show you this. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, the king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words. Now, a priest, you understand, not an ordinary person, a priest goes to the king and says, a prophet has risen who is conspiring against you. And his words, the land cannot bear them. Now, go ahead. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword. Did Amos say that? No. We know what Amos said from the previous verse. Okay. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. That he said. The captive he said, the other one he did not say. Then Amaziah said to Amos, now this is the priest. The king does not even get involved. This is the priest saying, go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. They are in Israel. These are two different kingdoms. Flee to the land of Judah, and there eat your bread, and there prophesy. Now, here is what happens. Before, because in these days, in the days of Amos, something terrible happened, which is also going to happen. Which, you know, these things recur. I want you to see that nothing is new under the face of the earth. Now, so these people say that there is a prophet who has arisen. I actually thought I was going to get away from this, but today the Lord, here we are again, okay? And so they say, this man is talking things which are not pleasant. The land is unable to bear his words. So they go and tell him, just do us a favor. Leave. Go to the land of Judah. They are the ones who can still tolerate prophets like you. For us, we have no space for what? For prophets. Leave us alone. Let us do our thing. Now, this is being said by a priest, not by an ordinary person. Now, it is okay, by the way, to understand, if the king had come against him, then he could have pronounced judgment against the king. Do you understand? You remember when they captured Samson? You know? When he went and destroyed the Philistines' things. Then they came and captured him. Then they tied his hands. Then he told them one thing. He told them, do me one favor. Promise me before you tie me up that you will not kill me yourselves, that you will take me to the Philistines. Because his power only works against Philistines, not against the Israelites. But if the devil can mess up the Israelites and they kill Samson, they will kill him. His power does not work. So he told them, okay, you tie me up, no problem. But don't touch me yourselves. Just take me to the Philistines. Then those ones I can handle. So they said, no, we will not touch you. So as soon as he reached the Philistines, he killed 1,000 of them with a jawbone and the rest ran away. Now his power is effective there. Now what the devil does is if he can get people from the church to fight people from the church, then the king doesn't even have to lift his finger. Because the priest is the one chasing away the prophet. You understand? So the Christians are the ones chasing away the fellow Christians. They are the ones saying the land cannot bear his words. They are the ones running to the king. If the king stood up against Amos, then Amos can pronounce judgment. And something happens. But it's a priest. So it's your fellow believer. What are you going to do? Now that's a bit of what we are seeing right now. You understand, in the church today, where there is this, there is apparently a very great conflict. There is a very great conflict, and people seem to be moving one way and the other, and there was this. Then listen to what Amos tells them. Now this is the priest saying to him, Amaziah, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is royal residence. In other words, in this country, we do not want the word of God. Go and find some other place and prophesy there. We don't want your words. We are tired. of your words. Now listen to what Amos says. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go and prophesy to my people, Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot. Okay, I don't want to read all those. Your wife will not be a harlot. But, okay, here is what he's doing. Now, what Amos was doing previously was standing in the gap. Now, when they came and chased him out, he stopped standing in the gap. And you know what happened in that time, actually? There was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake. And, and actually, Amos started prophesying 2 years before the earthquake. And everything, all the history of the kings of Judah, or rather the chronicles of the Israel and so on, refer to an earthquake because it was very tremendous and it turned everything upside down. But I wanted to show you that earthquakes in the world ends with an earthquake. And then the earthquakes were in the past and then they are in the present. So I'll start by telling you those in the past, then I'll tell you those which are coming up. Then we'll, So Amos 1:1, this is what it says, Amos chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Now, he's not the only one who talks about the earthquake. So many other authors talk about the earthquake, because it was a tremendous, actually it was a tsunami. I'm going to show you that in the Bible. It was a tsunami because geologically, actually, I was reading that they proved that the epicenter was in the Mediterranean. You know what an epicenter is? Of the earthquake, where it starts and spreads. Now, was in the Mediterranean Sea. So it actually created a tsunami and caused so many people to die. There was a census after it to see who is still alive. There were so many dead bodies. Now, we'll read a bit of this. And now, Amos prophesies in chapter 8, verse 8, about, now just read a few scriptures here. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn who dwells in it? All of it shall swell like the river, heave and subside like the river of Egypt. You see, he's actually kind of describing, a tsunami. And I'll show you that elsewhere, also where he talks about the land swelling and the sea swelling and the Lord covering the land with what? With water. Also, chapter 6, verse 11 says, now all this is talking about, he's warning them about the earthquake. For behold, the Lord gives a command, he will break the great houses into bits and little house into bits. Also, we'll just go through this, chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. This is what it says, that in the day I will punish Israel for their transgressions. I will also visit destruction on the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. Verse 15, I will destroy the winter house along with the summer house. The houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, says the Lord. Now, why is he talking about this? The days of this happened, by the way, King Uzziah was king between about 790 BC up to about, he was the second longest serving ruler of either Israel or Judah. And he was king for 52 years. And the earthquake, by estimate of archaeologists, this great earthquake happened around 750 BC. That should have been about a year or so towards the end of King Uzziah's reign, about 750 BC. Now, let's look a bit at King Uzziah so that we understand why Israel was like this in the days. Because we are looking at timelines of the Bible. Because this, Second Chronicles chapter 26, verse 4. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to what? To prosper. Now, when Zechariah was there with him, he sought the Lord. But when Zechariah died, that's when he started drifting away, because he had a prophet in his life. And he had had this, Zechariah had been the prophet of his father. So he kind of, when he became king, he still respected him. But when Zechariah died, then Uzziah started becoming a bit funny. Okay, but let's read on. As long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. Verse 6. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gilgal, and against the whatever they are called. Also the Ammonites. Now listen to this. Also the Ammonites brought tribute towards Uzziah. And his fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt. For he became exceedingly great. Now I want you to notice this. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt. Do you understand? He prospered so much. Now Egypt was an empire. Now Uzziah prospered so much that his fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt. Now that means he sought the Lord, God made him prosper, and now put your name there. Your fame spread until the heathen reach of the started hearing it. You understand? As far as the entrance of Egypt. So that says, who is Kabulator? You understand? Then now you have reached the entrance of Egypt. You understand? When the so-called rich, who by the way are also not that rich now, but the so-called rich of the heathen of the world start saying, who is this man? Where your fame has reached the entrance of Egypt. You understand? So that's how strong he grew. But his strength wasn't just financial. Let's read ahead. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. And he also built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. In other words, he was a farmer. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number of their roll, as prepared by Jediel the scribe and Maaseiah the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of the chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600 officers, okay? And under the authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king. In other words, he became so strong that nobody dared attack him. But it goes ahead to describe his strength. And it says, then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, 307,500, he prepared for them for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and on the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So the city was unapproachable. You understand? So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped until he became strong. Now this was one of the greatest times of, this is so many years after King Solomon, or more than 300 years after King Solomon. Now this, and after David and Solomon. So this was the time of great prosperity in the kingdom of Judah, but also Israel. Or in the kingdom of Israel, but also Judah. But Uzziah was king of Judah. Now you know Amos, or rather Amos actually was a prophet at the same time as Isaiah. You understand? And both Isaiah and Amos warn about the same earthquake, and telling people the earthquake is coming. And he actually says the Lord is going to bring the earthquake, and it is going to shake everything. Now, I want to tell you that in the time we are living, there is going to be an earthquake of an altogether different nature. An earthquake, which I told you last time, which is going to shake the church and leave everything that is not of God on the ground. And only what is of God stands. You understand? Now, you know, in the Old Testament, it talks about actual earthquakes. And even in the future, in the book of Revelation, there are actual earthquakes. But now there's an earthquake happening in the church, which is why you see so many people fighting and doing all these things and trying to pull out, you know, all sorts of tricks to market and do what, because there is a shaking. And that shaking is leaving some, today I was talking to somebody, is leaving so many of them feeling like the rug has been pulled from under their feet. You understand? Today I was talking to somebody who goes to one of those big, you know, churches, and he was serving there and what. But there's one thing about, so he came and he was telling me that his financial situation, he's absolutely appalling. He's been to jail, he's been what, he's doing that. And he's actually not, he's not a mufere, he's not a bad person, you understand? But you know when you try financial things and they don't work out, you end up being treated like a mufere, yet you're not. Because you try this, you try that, you try that. You know what I'm saying, eh? So, of course, there are people who go there because they have a fere. But then there are those who actually genuine, try to pull something off, but nothing seems to work. And now there are people who kind of are like that, who have come from where you're always on the brink of something big happening, but it never happens. So some every day something is about to happen. You know, next week I'm expecting this big deal. Then it doesn't happen. Then the next week I'm expecting that it doesn't happen. Then 1 year, 2 years, you're always. And now the funny thing is, you like, the devil can keep you in a perpetual state of hope, where you never give up, Because if you actually gave up, you would be forced to examine your life. But there's always something hanging around, Now, you know, somebody called me. When you're about to start examining your life and saying, what am I doing wrong? Then somebody calls you and says, hey, have you heard? Next week, there's what? We can actually go. We are going to South Africa. What? Then you pursue. Then, of course, you don't go. Then something else happens. And now, meanwhile, you're aging, and you know what, do you people know what I'm talking about, eh? Now, that's what happens when you attend places which have fake anointings, eh? There is no, and people come and ask me, why is it that I'm not, if you, the place you're in has no anointing to break through, you will not break through. Amen? You're not what? Because it's about an anointing, it's about an enablement, it's about something which makes you step into an area where you start working things out and they actually work. When you're expecting a deal, you actually sign it. There's somebody who told me, he's even here today, that he even signed a deal to go and do something. I remember it was long ago and I saw him coming in. So he signed a deal to go and do something and it was at worker's house upstairs. So he boards the lift with the LPO. Then before he leaves the worker's house, he's on the ground floor, they call him and say, hey, first come back, want to do something? Then he goes back and they cancel it. Now, can you imagine? Like, even when they sign it, they will not. Now, when the guy who is supposed to sign it comes, I mean, when he's supposed to sign it, he said, no, tomorrow, whatever. Then you hear, he lost a relative. Then when he comes back, he said, what were we supposed to do, Pozzi? No, I think we have to examine this. Then you say, the last time we talked, it was done. Then the guy said, just come, tomorrow we sign. Then the next day you go, the guy has lost somebody. Then, anyhow, so this guy, but he told me one thing. He said, because there has been a, now here is what I was telling you the other day. Remember what I was telling you, the book of remembrance, eh? Like, it will be distinguished by money. By what? Money. Where if you're fake, the people will be broke and you cannot run away from it. You can forge everything else. The other people even who forge and they are flamboyant, they seem to have a powerful gospel, but when it comes to money, people are broke. And the people who give you are all broke. Now, this guy told me his friends, all of them, they are there serving, giving, what? Even rich people who were rich went there and they became broke. And they ran away. Some who were clever ran away before they became completely broke. But you know, some people can become so attached to places, that you are seeing you're going down, but this is my church, but you're going down. And then you end up going down, and you're still insisting, this is my church. Your church, are you the one who started it? If the one who started it was doing the things of God, you would not be going down. You understand? And if there is no anointing for something in a place, you cannot force it. Now, there are places where, now, you cannot forge these things. You cannot. You cannot. Like, if it is there, you will know. Sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so, come forward. These people, about every week, there is somebody whom they announce. Then you know this church has what? The anointing for what? If it does not have, you will go 6 months when they are not announcing anybody. Now, that is the same for prosperity. You understand? You will see people, let me tell you, I was listening to some, whatever, in Nigeria, where you see a woman who came to church. She's thoroughly illiterate, completely, totally illiterate.
She came, she only had two dresses, two like this. Then they preached about giving. Then the Lord told her, give one dress. She said, now Lord. But she gave the dress. Now, she's a millionaire. Like God's hand is not too short. He can do anything he wants. He doesn't need any raw material to make you what? Do you understand? The only thing that has to be there is the anointing. Now for her, she found a place where it is. That's all you need. One place where it is. And now then you'll go and sow in a place, sow in a place, sow in a place. And every time you're losing money. The more you sow, the more you lose. The more you sow, the more you lose. And you still don't see it because you want somebody to explain it to you. And you can't look at your life and say, has anything changed? Am I going forward or backwards? Just examine yourself. And then you're there in a perpetual state of hope. Now, I've been through that, so I know what I'm talking about. Anyhow, but back to the Mulamwa. So Israel was so prosperous in the days of Uzziah. Now, I want to tell you what are the background of why God says he's going to bring the earthquake. Some of the things we spoke about last time. But the major thing is when the land rejects the voice of God by rejecting the voice of a prophet. You understand? A prophet who comes up. Now, when a prophet comes up, his purpose is to stand in the gap and speak something. And by speaking it, he actually averts the way Amos was doing previously. The Lord shows him something. Now, those are the things which happen. Already I was talking about what? Okay. the exact point, I've forgotten it. But the point is, so people reject, and now the people rejecting are not the politicians, they are the priests. They come and tell the prophet, go away. We don't want your words. This land cannot bear your words. Find another place. Go to Judah. Go there. That's where they can still tolerate people like you. For us here, we have our system. It's the same thing which Jesus told the Pharisees. The voice of God has come, you've rejected it because you have a system. Then he said, over Jerusalem, you remember what he said, if you had known the times of your visitation, and if you had not embraced me, then these things would not happen. But he said, but the time is coming when your enemies will surround you and they will bring you down, and they will completely turn you upside down. And he actually told the disciples, not one stone will be left standing on the other, of the monuments of which they were so proud, like the temple. He said, this temple, even the disciples were saying, Lord, man, how magnificent is this temple. He says, the time is coming when not one stone will be left on the other of this temple. So he's telling them, when you reject the voice of God, because you have, and usually it's because there are people who have built their bubanja, you understand, in that place. So God comes and they see him as he's interrupting them, you understand? You're interrupting us. You just let us be, because now I am the presiding whatever. I will not say the word, because you know what I'm talking about. Now Uzziah is so strong. Now go to the next verse. I want to show you something. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord, his God, by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, what does somebody do when he's living in an ivory palace, when his city has been fortified with a great army and archers and stones which can be thrown like nobody? You know, because the kings of the past, you're always scared somebody is going to attack you. Then you know that your enemy is actually bringing tribute to you because you're stronger than them. Now, there's nothing left. So the guy says, why don't I also become a priest? You understand? You know such kings, You know kings who have decided to become priests? You know them, Then they go into the temple. Then they go into temples and say that my desire is for all believers to unite, including witch doctors. And like the totally, you know what I'm saying? Like showing complete contempt for what we are doing. But that is King Uzziah. Somebody has become too powerful that he's drunk with power. He doesn't have any sense anyhow. So, but thank God, in the days of Uzziah, in spite of his tremendous power, there were priests like these ones. Verse 17. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. The king has gone to burn incense on the altar, the king. So the priests go there, valiant men, and they approach the king. Okay? And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who were consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Now, here are priests. Do you understand? Eh? On the one hand are the other priests who go to the king and say, "Amos is conspiring against you. The land cannot bear his word." Then on this hand, there are people who know what they are doing. So when the king steps in the palace, they say, "What are you doing here? Get out of here. Eh? With your brigades. We don't care who you are. Get out of here." You understand? And now when the priests stand up like that, even God backs them up. Because Uzziah is not you. "Who is this who is talking to me like this? Do you know who I am?" So he turns. Eh? Verse 19. "Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief of the priests, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out of the place." Can you imagine? Eh? The guy came as the greatest man, eh? And, you know, unconquerable. And now the priests just throw him out. "Get out of here with your leprosy." Eh? Now that's how some people are going to be. Eh? Not everybody, but some people are going to be like that. Where? How can the king come to and say that you should unite with what? With witch doctors. I mean, really, how can you show such contempt for what we are doing? "My desire is that all believers, Muslims and what, let Muslims unite with Muslims. They are the most divided people. Why do you unite with them when they themselves are not united?" That's what they should tell the priest. Are the Muslims themselves united? Let them first sort themselves out. As we also sort ourselves out. Because we are not united either. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now verse 21. "King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house." Now the funny thing is this. I actually read in the account of Josephus, the Jewish historian, that the earthquake happened on the very day that Uzziah was struck with leprosy. That's when the great earthquake happened, which I'll just tell you a bit about, first of all in the past, then in the future. We're reading a bit of earthquake. Eh? When God rebukes them and says, the temple, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, you know, Uzziah became so strong that even the people of God, even you remember that scripture in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." Eh? Now, even Amos, or rather Isaiah, a great prophet, eh? When Uzziah is there, because Uzziah is such a powerful, so it's only until he dies that even prophets start seeing visions. Eh? Now, you read there, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." Glory to God. Now, Isaiah had been a prophet from the start, but it's only when Uzziah died that he saw the Lord. This is chapter 6, not chapter 1. Eh? Okay. Let's go on to Amos chapter 9, verse 1. "I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and he said, 'Strike the doorposts, that the thresholds may shake, and break them on the heads of them all. I will slay the last of them with the sword. He who flees from them..." Now this is real destruction. "Those who fled from the earthquake were killed by the sword." That's interesting, isn't it? But you see, it was such a tremendous thing that Joel speaks about. Even Zechariah, who prophesied 230 years later, you go to the book of Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3 and 5, when he's talking now about the earthquake, which will come in the latter days now. But he says, "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle." Which nations? The nations which will be gathered against Jerusalem at the end time, at the battle of Armageddon. So now we are talking future. And he says, "And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west." By what? By an earthquake. I will show you that from the book of Revelation. from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north and half of it towards the south. Go to verse 5. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquakes in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Now, this is the great earthquake that all of them, even several years later, still, this is about 230 years, between 230 and 250 years later, when Zechariah was prophesying, but he's talking about as it was in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord, my God, will come and all the saints with you. You know that, I've told you about that in vet. When the Lord comes on the battle of Armageddon with all the saints who will have been raptured. Glory to God. Okay, now, so that's, now Joel, chapter 3. All these are Joel, Isaiah, and Amos, about the same time of prophecy. And all of them seeming to say the same thing. 3, chapter 12, it says, or 3 verse 12 rather. Let the nations be weakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Now, it's interesting that this is prophecy about the end, but it also happened back then, where all the nations that came up against Israel were judged in the valley of Jehoshaphat. But this is the same valley which is called Megiddo, where the battle of Armageddon will take place. So the purpose, by the way, of this is to show you that everything that we are waiting for has already happened in some form before. You understand? Eh? It's just going to happen again, and perhaps on a grander scale, and it will be the final one. But all these things have already happened. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Verse 13, put in a sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Now this talks about Babylon. Eh? Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord. Eh? The sun and the moon will grow dark. You know about this. Eh? This is the day of the Lord, which we are waiting for. But and the stars will diminish their brightness. Verse 16. And the Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of his children, of the children of Israel. Now here, it's more or less the same as Amos chapter 1, verse 2. Amos 1, 2, it says, for he said the Lord roars from Zion. He said there he roars from Zion, utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. Anyway, so Isaiah also talks about it, chapter 2, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 19. He says, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the cave. Now, this is talking about something which happened when the earthquake came. But it's also talking about what is going to happen in the day of the Lord. Eh? So it both has happened and is going to happen. So they shall go into the holes of the rocks. Now, this prophecy of Isaiah came to pass in his lifetime, when you're still alive. But it is also a prophecy for us, which is also going to happen in our lifetime. Glory to God. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. With the what? With the earthquake. This is Isaiah talking about the earthquake that is to come. I wanted you to... Okay, verse 21. To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of the rugged ones from the terror of the Lord and from the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Now I want you to remember, you remember the scripture which says in Revelation that the rich and the mighty will all go and hide themselves in a cave and say, hide us from the wrath of the he who sits on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. You remember that scripture? Now it already happened, but it is also going to happen again. So now here he's saying they will still go there because when he comes, the Lord comes, he comes with an earthquake. Okay, and now we'll read a bit of those scriptures, then we go into. And earthquakes, by the way, are very telling signals. Eh? When Jesus said there will be various earthquakes, an earthquake is a prejudgment. You understand? Eh? It's a prejudgment. Now, of course, scientifically, that is absolute rubbish. Eh? But we have a knowledge which is bigger than science. Eh? Which scripture did I want to read? That earthquake, by the way, according to archaeologists, this one, in the days of Uzziah, was 8.2 on the Richter scale. But in the book of Revelation, it says there will be an earthquake such as has never been nor will ever be again. It will be the final one, the last one, the one which will split the Mount of Olives in two, which the Bible speaks about. And as I told you, it was when you read Amos 5:8 and 9:6, it is talking about a tsunami kind of scenario, because he made the Pleiades and the Orion. He turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. This is talking about tsunami, because actually it was now archaeologists prove that it's when the earthquake, of course, starts from the sea, it spreads the water. You know what a tsunami is, eh? So now this is actually describing exactly what happened. That time, there was a tsunami. But all there, and also chapter 9, verse 6, it actually says the same thing. He who builds his layers in the sky has founded his strata in the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Amen? Now, there are also other prophecies concerning, and by the way, all over the Psalms 46. Eh? Now, the Psalms 46 was written by the sons of Korah. Now, of course, some of you think all the Psalms were written by David. They were not. Okay? Psalms 46 was written by the sons of Korah, and the timing of its writing was actually about 760 BC, just before the flood, 750 BC. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Another tsunami, eh? Though it's now, it's actually, this is prophetic. These people are speaking a psalm, it's prophetic. It hasn't happened, but it happened not long after this psalm was written. Though the mountains be shaken with sway, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. You understand, eh? Now, Jesus said about the end times that men's hearts, their sea will roar, and men's hearts will fail them for fear. You understand, eh? So this whole sea roaring and earthquake is actually a great symbol, a sign of what is coming ahead. Now, I'll just give you some things which I picked up from here. Number one is, let's look at earthquakes by the decades, eh, to show you that they increase both in intensity and in number. In the 1950s, before 1950, in all the decades before 1950, there was the same number of earthquakes above 7.0 on the Richter scale, between 2 and 4, an average of 3 every decade before 1950. But in the 1950s, there were 9. In the 1960s, there were 13. In the 1970s, there were 51. In the 1980s, there were 86, above 7.0 on the Richter scale. In the 1990s, there were about 500 in the 1990s. Now, it's important to note the increase starts around the 1950s, actually around 1948. And you know why, eh? And now, these days, previously there used to be tremors, 5.0, 4.5, but now there are so many which are heavy, eh, which are destroying people. And actually, we are being desensitized to it, that you read in the Diyozan earthquake in Myanmar, and it doesn't make any news. Eh? And yet, actually, people were buried. And like, there was one in Italy which buried the whole city. But okay, it was in Nigeria, where a whole city is buried. Sorry. They don't even bother looking for people. They just say, Castor, you've already been buried. So they just organize a mass mourning. It was in 1960. And now there are so many happening in Italy. And all of them, by the way, are a precursor to some kind of judgment. Eh? While there are things like lightnings, earthquakes. Remember what I told you about the lightning when this Pope was crowned? Eh? By the way, these days he has been on form. Eh? The other day he said that dogs will go to heaven. Eh? So, man, you had better go to heaven. Because imagine if you don't go and a dog goes. But that guy is thoroughly confused. I don't know if anybody more confused than that man. He is the man. Eh? He is the very embodiment of the devil. He says things, eh, which are very weird. And you said, did this man say this? So your pets, eh? Prepare them for heaven. But can you imagine? Eh? But you know why this is happening? Because the liberal world is trying to equate human beings and animals. Eh? You see that there is a push. Now they actually call human beings, or rather animals, eh? Non-human animals. Why do they add non-human animals? Because for you, you're human animals, eh? According to them. Eh? That's according to science. Eh? So now they call them non-human animals. Eh? Those are animals. Now, they are trying to get men and equate them to animals. And actually, it's eventually going to end up in people having sex with animals, which is already happening right now. Eh? And is popularized in so many places. Eh? Like in some states, one state actually I know of Montana in America, it's legal for people to have sex with what? With an animal. So a man went and married his dog. Eh? He did it in Vegas, but since in the state of Nevada, it's illegal to have sex with a dog. He said he's going to have his honeymoon in Montana, where he can legally. And it was in the news, eh? Making news. And like, people are being desensitized to these things, and they are shocking. But you read the thing, and it's absolutely shocking, but it doesn't seem to move anybody. Eh? Like, we seem to think it's okay. That, you wait when they make it cool, eh? And some people start doing it, eh? These stupid celebrities of yours. Eh? Very shallow human beings. Eh? But you wait when they start making those things cool. Eh? Anyway. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 6. Now these are the earthquakes to come. Eh? Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Now you see, this was exactly how the previous prophets were describing an earthquake, which happened in their time. But now this is talking about an earthquake which is yet to happen, which is going to happen in that time. Now this is this one is also repeated in Revelation 16. Okay, the sun looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Go, verse 13. And the stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by the mighty wind. Now this is the battle of Armageddon, the second returning of Jesus Christ when he comes. Now, notice what he says in verse 14. Then the sky receded as a scroll. And actually, you know, Psalms 104 says the Lord set up the sky like a scroll. In other words, he just rolled it there, the way you can roll a curtain on a stage and people don't see because you're preparing backstage. Now when it's scene one, then you roll away the curtain. Now that's what he says the skies were in Psalms 104. He rolled them like it. Now here he's going to roll them back on the day when Jesus comes and sets his foot on earth. The skies are all, and every human being on earth sees him coming, and he comes with an earthquake. Then as it says, everybody, as it happened before and is going to happen, everybody runs and hides themselves in the rocks and say, hide us from the wrath. Okay? The sky receded as when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Now that's talking about an earthquake. Okay? And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountain. Remember we read those scriptures before? Saying the same things, eh? And say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the day of his wrath has come. Now, if you go also to Revelation chapter 16 and verse 16, it's talking about this same incident. And they gather together to the place called, in Hebrew, called Armageddon. Okay? Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. And a loud voice came out of the temple from heaven, from the throne, saying, it is done. Now, it is done, that is the end of human government, that's the end of the grace era, that is the end of, that is the beginning of the millennium, in other words. Okay, it is done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on earth. Now this, the greatest, I don't know what it will be on the Richter scale, if it will be even measurable there, but it will be the greatest earthquake such as had not occurred since men were. And by the way, there was a tremendous earthquake in the days of Jesus around that place in AD 17. But I want to let you know that, you know, thunderings and lightnings and solar eclipses and lunar eclipses, all these are signs. The sun turns into, you know, you've heard about the four blood moons and all those things. All these are signs of something that is happening. Now, I'll give you an example of lightning. On the day Pope Benedict gave up his throne, at the time they had just announced it, a lightning, which was curious because it was all over the media, came from heaven, from wherever lightning comes from, and was struck at the peak of St. Peter's Basilica, that is the throne of the Roman Catholic Church, at the very peak. You remember I showed you those pictures at the conference, but that's not all. Now, that was a turning point for everything, because the people of that world knew that the previous Pope Benedict could not take them where they wanted to go. They needed somebody who was more liberal, somebody who was the one, you know, the anointed one. So they told him, you have to abdicate, get out of the way. And there have been so many theories on why he was pushed out of the way. Then this current one came. And he was introduced in a grand way, where everything was pointing towards occult, the numbers, the time, the what. Man, these guys are thorough, These guys are thorough. Remember what I was showing you the other day about Beyonce's performance, Now, somebody came and told me that she had a vision. She had a vision where she was actually in that place where the Grammys were. And like 80% of the people were not human beings, they were spirits. But they were, okay, they are human beings, but they are spirits. You know, people who have gone too deep, that when you see somebody looks like a wolf, you know, you take on the characteristic of something that you're promoting. You understand? The same way I told you that there are spirits of God, the spirit of prosperity, the spirit of, marriage, all those things of God. The devil has his own. Now, people take on a characteristic in the spiritual realm. God opens your eyes and you see somebody who is walking, a smart, you know, handsome guy. I was going to say like me, but I won't. Okay. I didn't say it. Okay. But you see, when he opens, you see a snake. Then another one, you see a wolf. Then another one, you see a dog. Like, they take on spiritually the characteristic of what they are promoting. And all those animals, of course, are a symbol of something. So somebody, and actually remember even this guy, who was once one of them, and he came and said he got born again. He said he would be walking in the town, and then he sees a guy who is a crocodile. And for him, he's seeing the tail, and seeing what? But for you, you're seeing what? But for him, because he's seeing in the spiritual realm, he's seeing a crocodile. And the guy is walking, and they notice each other. And them also, them, they are seeing him as something else. Then they notice each other and look at each other and walk. So that lady, she saw, like, you know, a congregation of people. And 80%, she said, were animals of different kinds. Different kinds, and they are there, Grammys. But of course, some of you listen to their music because it's nice. But you're listening to the music of an animal. And it's passing on to you that characteristic that it portrays in that thing. Now, if you see the spirit, you can see. Now, you see, sometimes, things can be deceptive when you don't see. Now, there was a time I was seated somewhere with Prophet Elvis. Now, some guy came, a very rich man in town. If I said his name, all of you would know him. But he's known to be very calm, very nice, and what, respectful, you know. That man, even if he's rich and what. So that's what I knew about him. Until the Prophet told me what he saw. Man, I was in shock. I knew the bit about what he does. But now when it was described to me what the guy saw in the spiritual realm, now, for you, you're seeing a nice guy, very well built. He was actually coming from the gym. And he's, you know, tall and what. So you see this hot guy. But man, he's a crocodile or something. Anyhow. And you know, crocodile is pride. Eh? It's a symbol in that world of pride. Okay. Or Leviathan already. And there were noises and thunder. So lightnings. And now, is that coincidence? No, it is not. Because even when you remember, I showed you that. Eh? That obelisk in Washington. Eh? That monument. Washington Monument. On the day that the Supreme Court in America passed a law making same-sex marriage legal, lightning struck at the very top. So they pass, the Supreme Court has passed, lightning strikes at the top. Now, don't think that is just coincidence. It is not. Because Jesus said, I saw the devil fall like lightning from heaven. Why does he say like lightning? Those are symbols, eh? Lightning, earthquakes, and what? All those are symbols of... And if you are... Now, I will tell you this. Eh? The other day, there were... Now, this is a fact of news. So, I'm just telling you what was in the news. Eh? And I'm just portraying it as a good... Okay, journalist. Eh? It was in the news. There was a lightning at State House, Entebbe. And two people died. It was in the news. Let's move on. Okay. Let's move on. I've just stated what was in the news. Praise the Lord. I'm not the one who wrote the news. I wasn't even there. But somehow we read it. Two soldiers died. And then again, a few days later, there was another lightning. And then again, somebody, one person died. Now, nothing of... If you look at the heavens, they are full of signs that you should look out for. Even this man was telling me, even the clouds, the Lord was showing him that if you even study the cloud move, there is a lot of, you know, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the earth speaks, and the firmament, what does it say? Psalms 19, verse, then it says, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals what? Knowledge. Psalms 19, verse 1 and 2, day unto day utters speech. First 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. So there are so many of these signs. Let's go back to Revelation 19, which if people were familiar with, where you see an eclipse. Now, you see the people of the world are familiar with these things. They know. They know. For instance, when there was an eclipse here, which was in Pakwach, you remember? Which picked, do you know how many celebrities from Brad Pitt and who came to Uganda and you did not even know about it? All the people who are in that religion of Scientology. All of them came to Pakwach to go and worship. But they come silently. They come silently, fly into the country, and go to Pakwach, do their worship, and go back. Okay? So you didn't know Brad Pitt was here, and all those guys. I believe even George Clooney. Eh? Tom Cruise. So they were here in Uganda. Now for them, it's worship. It's worship. Because they understand... From that world, they understand how the heavens declare something. Now, from our world, by the way, I've never felt anything like that before. There was something that happened that day. I was seated at home, and okay, because of the eclipse, it was around 5:30, and there was a bit of a darkness, you know. 5:30 looked like 7:30 because of the eclipse. But this was here in Kampala. It wasn't, you know, complete. It wasn't. It was just partial. But I've never felt such a sense of evil, engulfed. Like it was so much. Eh? But I said, am I the only one sensing this? Then I actually went and spoke to some men of God who are sensitive. And they said, yeah, we could also sense it. Eh? There was a deep sense of evil. But you see, somehow, for some reason, the church is not alert to the things that they should be alert to. And that is so sad. Eh? Because you miss seasons. You miss people. Those people are trying to implant themselves there. Now you see, Supreme Court, then they go and put rainbow. Eh? The White House, Obama puts rainbow colors. Same-sex marriage, eh? Rain. And whew, puts a rainbow. And I've been with Christians who can't see what that means. And then they say, no, Obama, he was a good president. The whites don't like us. I wish you luck. So, now, we are at a time in the church where everybody has to be sensitive to what the Spirit is saying. Praise the Lord. It is no longer a luxury. It is a necessity. Because you get swept out by things which should not sweep you out. You have to be sensitive. Start with dreams. Start with dreams. If somebody is trying to invade your space, some spirit, some fake spirit, you dream about it. And then you say, why is this? So you know that something not right is happening here. Now, if you pray, it doesn't invade your space. If you ignore it, you dream it again. Then the third time, then it invades your space. Yet you could have handled it in a different way. Now, even in ministry, now you don't know that even sometimes when people come and they don't come for good. The other day, some guy came and told me, man of God, you know, people think we have issues with other men of God. So they think that they can come and get your attention by abuse, like saying ill of other people of God. But we are not like that. You understand? So the guy comes and says, I was at Pastor So-and-So's and they chased me. I was at Pastor So-and-So's and they chased me. And then I went here, then they chased me. And then you know what? I said, let me come here. You're the only place over who has what. And he's talking and I'm seeing right through him. I was standing at the car with, that gentleman. So he's talking and I'm looking at him and I'm seeing right through him. And I know they have sent him and what he's up to. But what he wanted was for me. Then he told me he didn't have transport to go somewhere. Now what he wanted, it was not just transport he wanted. He wanted a point of contact with me. He wanted me to give him money. Then he goes and tries. First of all, even if he did it, it would not affect me. But I knew what he wanted. So he told me, now I'm going to Mbale right now. I mean, you're going to Mbale at 10 p.m. So he said, but I don't have transport. I wanted to tell him, why don't you walk? But I thought that would be very rude. But you know, he's trying to, and he thinks he's going to gain favor by speaking, you know. Like, we don't have anything against anybody, by the way. Nothing. So don't think you're going to come and speak ill of some man of God and get about it. Nothing. We have nothing against anybody. Nothing. We just know that some people have. Then, meanwhile, the guy is circling that. He has an envelope. These envelopes which you put on the desk. And he's not going to give money. He doesn't even have transport. He's not going to give money, but he's holding an envelope. And he's taking it somewhere. And I know he's going to go somewhere and try to do what? To proclaim some things over it. Then, and I know where they have gone to ministries like that. And the next thing you know, finance goes low. But you know, thank God that we somehow know how to surmount those things. But how do I know? When I'm praying, I notice something is invading my space. You start dreaming certain things, then you say, how did this come about? I can know if it is personal or if it is ministry. Then I deal with it at that level. Amen? Now I'm telling you this for your purpose. So that if you start dreaming weird things, some uncle who died long time, those things, just know that it's a clear thing. You can just tell clearly that this is so-and-so trying to do this. Now they are trying to reach out to me. Now when they try to do something in the spirit, it comes to you in the form of a dream. You will see it. And then you know, oh, these guys are coming for me. Then if you pray about it, you defeat it. Amen? And so just by being sensitive to simple things like dreams, you actually avert so many would-be calamities. Then from there, it goes up to a higher level where now the other day somebody was telling me that she was praying, then she saw somebody sliding down the ladders. The ladders of her home, sliding down the ladders and falling badly. Then you're praying, then you see it happen. Then you're praying, you see it happening. Then now, she didn't take it seriously. So when she finished, she was going down the ladder, she fell down. Now you see, you start saying, so when you something flashes before you, an accident, don't take it lightly, just handle it. And it's not difficult to handle it. Say, I rebuke it in Jesus' name, it's not going to happen to me. Now, small things, then you know that when this, something flashes, and you are not thinking about it, then something just flashes in front of you like this. And then you know, oh, okay, this is what is going to happen. Now, don't take those things. You will not see it with your eyes, but it might be even a mental picture. But something or somebody, something, you know, you just notice, this. Now, when you take it to that level of sensitivity, now when you've got away from, okay, not entire, but you know you've moved, graduated from dreams to that, then at some stage you actually start seeing those things, good and bad. Somebody told me the other day, I don't know why, when I'm praying, there's some chidimon standing at the corner of my room. Eh? And I said, what do you do? He said, I do nothing. When I walk there, it disappears. Eh? Then when I walk away, it is there. Then I walk. then I walk. So I told her that, don't mind it. Just continue doing what you are doing. I said, are you sure? But now the thing is, when you start breaking into the realm of the spirit, you see things which are according to what your heart is. Because you came from a background where they taught you that spiritual things are mostly devil. You understand? Eh? So your first experience, you'll be seeing demons. But when you sort your heart out, then you start seeing angels. You understand? Eh? So, but that is not a bad thing. You're seeing in the spiritual realm. Eh? And you also have to know that seeing a devil does not change anything. Eh? There is nothing the devil can do to you. If he could, he would have done it a long time ago. Eh? Yeah, so if he comes and stands there, you go to sleep. Like, because he was there before anyway, you were just not seeing him. Eh? So celebrate the fact that now you're seeing him. Because in the same way you're seeing him, you will see angels. Eh? You understand? And you'll see what? If you actually just... It's about your heart. You understand? Eh? Because you came from this background where everything spirit, the devil. Now, that is... But when your heart is washed of all that devil, and you get into glory, eh? And you expect glory, you will not see... The devils will be there, you will not see them. You will actually see the angels. You understand? Eh? Amen? Are you learning something today? But beware, I told you the other time, eh? Beware of this. Here is the funny thing. Eh? When you see people in the church, and there's a lot of war, people pulling here, pulling there, and pulling what? And there are people who are seeking God. Now, this is what really hurts me. Eh? There are people who are seeking God. This man who came to me, who he's been to prison, he's been to what? Genuine God seekers who went to the wrong places. The wrong places. The person he went to, I wish I could tell you what I knew about her, but I can't. But he's there seeking God. Now the Lord said that he's going to remove all those people who are genuine God seekers, eh? And take them to the right places. All of them, by the way, all of them, eh? Because there are many who are there. They have been stuck there because they don't know better. There's all this promotion and what, this, do this, do this. So they go there, eh? Because they are seeking after God. So, I mean, this. So they go there looking for him, and what they get. Now, some of the stories, like testimonies which are, the other day, okay, I wouldn't know that God said this, but let me say, the other day there was a guy who apparently was lame and was walking. But the people knew him, the guy has been walking all along. Like, not even somebody from far, somebody who people know. Do you understand? Eh? Where even people said, but these people, couldn't they at least get somebody from up country? Where, and the man has sticks. Eh? Then he had a story over here, he got a stroke, then over here, what? Then, like, okay, man. Eh? And maybe there are people there who are seeking the Lord. But where they are going, there is a priest like, what was that guy called? Amaziah, eh? Who for him wants to just gather a crowd, then he calls the king and shows the king, you see, I'm still powerful. I can still gather all these people. Is he seeking out for the people of God? No. And those are the kind who will go and tell the king, there is a certain prophet. The land cannot bear his words. Praise the Lord. Now we are going to pray. Eh? That, by the way, don't take this lightly. We are going to pray that prophetic voice is not taken out of this country. Because if it is, it will be so bad. By the way, it will be very, very, very bad. Eh? Very bad if that voice is taken out of this country. And the king will keep quiet. For him, he waits for these guys to sort themselves out. Eh? For him, he keeps quiet. Have you ever heard him saying anything? No. Which king are you talking about? Do you have a king? Okay. Glory to God. So we pray as people who love Uganda, eh? That the voice of the Lord prevails and nobody sends the prophet to the land of Judah. He remains here. Amen? So even if they say get out of this country, go and eat bread somewhere else, eh? We'll say, no. We, as children of God, say he's not going to Judah. He's staying here. Eh? Somebody say he's staying here. Stay here.
Amen. Him and us, others. Eh? So, okay, just pray a bit in tongues. And who is Daniel? Who is called Daniel? Anybody here called Daniel? Come forward. Where do you go to church?
Amazing Grace.
Father, I thank you for your guidance. I thank you for an uplifting in the name of Jesus. What do you do?
I'm a director of a school.
Director of
a school, primary school.
You have
finance.
Employed or okay, I will. Glory to God, glory to God. There are things which okay, I'm led to pray for you. I don't know what about, maybe I'll find out in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for that desire that you fulfill in her in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Bears fruit shortly in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. I thank you, Father, because it bears fruit shortly in the name of Jesus, and it will be wonderful news. Amen. I'm sure only me and her have understood. I intended it that way. More than
any other song, much more than anything.
By May. Okay. Bob, where is Bob? Come and give us your testimony. Although I gave it on what? You remember the testimony I gave on radio? Eh? Yeah, this is. Remember that if those who didn't listen here, radio, give him the one where they stole your money and you messed them up. Tell us, huh? Quickly.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
This okay. Is the man. Uh huh.
Okay. I got some money. I was going to. Petition for my young sister. And when I was going home that day, you remember we used to leave very late, eh? When we were still at Imperial Yard. And then I found these thugs at the gate. They had some pangas and others there, iron bars. So they told me to just give everything I have. Some of them were already in my pockets. And I had 500,000 shillings. So I just gave it to them. But when I entered in my room, I said, this is the spirit, the devil, who's trying to steal me. I opened the Bible, two scriptures, Psalms 91:11, the angels, and Hebrews 1:14. I said, Lord, I'm not going to sleep until this man is back. I just stayed there. Then I started praying in tongues. It was around like 2:30 when I was praying in tongues, and then I had like spirit telling me open the door. I had closed it in fear that these guys might come back and do something. And I had like opened the door and I was like, these guys might come. Then I went, I opened the door. So when I was praying, it went to like 3. I said, I'm not going to sleep. Then these guys came. They just threw the money. So in the morning, I went. There's a restaurant where I usually go and eat.
Commando.
It's a restaurant. Hallelujah. Then I had the ladies who serve there having a conversation that this is the guy. This is that there were some guys early in the morning actually that they were saying that this guy, usually you say that he's a pastor, he might be really a pastor. Because something strange came when they were taking the money, that a man came in front of them.
How did these ladies get to know?
These guys were conversing in that restaurant. Okay. So that a man came before them and told them, if you don't take back that money, you're going to prison. And these guys, two of them saw that gentleman, and the other said, you're lying, we can't do that. They went in their room. So when they were trying to share, this time around the gentleman also came, and all of them saw that gentleman. So they said, let us take back the money. That's how it came from.
Glory to God. Amen. Until you live a supernatural life, you have not yet understood what we are talking about. Like, there has to be something in your life which shows that you are not ordinary. Glory to God. So that thieves take money and bring it back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let me pray for the offering and we leave this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Father, because we connect to a supernatural provision. I thank you, Father, because we connect to debt relief. I thank you because we connect to an uplifting in our finances in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, let each and every person who connects with this know that there is an anointing to make what they want to come to pass, come to pass. That let everybody dream and give with a purpose and give with an intention, something that they are seeing, something that they want to see, that they are believing the Lord for. In the name of Jesus, now there is somebody who applied for a job and you think you have no hope whatsoever because there are so many people. You even went and there were so many people who wanted the same job, in excess of 200 people. Actually, I'm hearing 240 people. Now, now, listen, this is... So you wonder if you will even be on the short list. Now, not only will you be on the short list, but you will even get the job. But then I also know that there was somebody who was earmarked for the job because of somebody whom they know for the same job which you want. So you were not supposed to get it, but now you are going to get it. Amen? Because that process has been made straight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes I don't want to call people out because of, you know, privacy and things like that. There's a time I called... Okay, sometimes I call weird sicknesses. There's a time I called people, somebody was smelling feet. And those people come to me afterwards. They come and say it was. But of course, you can't tell somebody, you know, come forward. Because then, and especially since it was a lady. You understand? But when you go outside, somebody comes and says, man, that was me. And So I look at the feet and say, no, I'm joking. So in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because each and every person, now that person gets the job in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for others who also in the process of seeking better employment. Somebody who has been in marketing, this chain marketing and so on, and you're tired of it. You want something more permanent, something that is not on commission, but something that is permanent. Now, I open a job up for you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.